You're listening to Aging in Alaska, a show created to explore the many aspects of aging and provide information, insight, guidance, and support to Alaska's elders and their families. Aging in Alaska is produced by the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, and I'm your host, Lisa Borzonik. This week, we're speaking with Dr. Joshua Gatson, who will be talking to us today about the link between traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Gatson is an assistant professor at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center and will be coming to Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Soldotna in November to discuss his work in a forum open to the public. Welcome, Dr. Gatson, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
So let's start out by telling us a little bit about you and your background, where you went to school and what led you into this line of work.
Okay, well, I went to school in Fort Worth, Texas. And during my graduate studies, I decided to look at the protective effects of steroid hormones such as estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and how they protect the brain from secondary injury following stroke. And that research led me into looking at the effects of these compounds in traumatic brain injuries as well to see if they, in fact, have some type of protective ability following that injury. And currently, I'm working on a number of compounds to see which drugs may protect the brain the most following such a severe head injury. And right now, we start to look at resveratrol, which is found in red wine, and that compound has shown extreme promise with decreasing brain inflammation after TBI, as well as heightened oxidative stress. And so we believe that this compound may protect the brain after either a concussion or a more severe head injury that you see in car accidents or falls.
Dr. Gatson, do you have any personal connections that led you down this path?
Well, initially when I started to work on the steroid hormones in the stroke arena, my interest came from a family member that had suffered 3 strokes through his lifetime, and I actually took care of him. And so when I started grad school, I wanted to figure out if there's any potential treatments to help these folks that suffer from stroke. And so, you know, we found that these steroid hormones are, in fact, protective. But what led me to TBI is the fact that sports concussions and other falls and car accidents as well have similar secondary injury that you see in stroke, but seem to be a lot more prevalent and easier to treat. Stroke, for example, a lot of people do not know that they are having a stroke until sometimes hours before they present themselves to the emergency department. Whereas TBI, traumatic brain injury, you usually know within minutes to hours that you've had a severe head injury because of this series of symptoms. And so that particular model is a lot easier to focus on, to treat, and is a lot more prevalent.
So through your work, it sounds like you found out that people who've experienced these traumatic brain injuries actually may have a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's later in life. Could you lead us through that a little bit?
Yeah, so I have some preliminary results, which is expanded on by other research that is published in the literature, where it shows that after a severe brain injury, there's an increase in inflammation as well as other toxic proteins that are seen in Alzheimer's disease that actually increase after this head injury. And they describe it as an Alzheimer's-like dementia that occurs years later after that initial head injury.
Dr. Gatson, one of the things that we've learned regarding Alzheimer's is sometimes those symptoms, I'm sorry, the the disease can actually be prevalent before the symptoms occur. Could this be something that happens with people who have had previous head injuries? Is there a link maybe between that concept where they don't notice the symptoms, but yet there was something that was always there?
Yes, definitely. What we have found is that when we interview some of these subjects, that they have had a series of head injuries. Maybe they played football for a number of years, or they've had a severe injury as a result of a fall. And it's kind of hard to tease out, but what we believe is that it may, in fact, add to that disease process.
Okay. You'd mentioned the terms earlier, secondary injury. Can you explain a little bit more about what that means?
So secondary injury, so following the initial blow to the head, there's a buildup of inflammation, similar to if you hurt your ankle or you bruise your thigh, and there's an increase in fluid in the brain, oxygen injury, and that's the secondary injury that leads to the long-term deficits, Alzheimer's-like dementia. And so that secondary injury is actually the trigger that turns on these negative pathways in the brain that can lead to the rapid decline of an individual's brain capacity.
And can you list some specific signs that people could be looking for to find out if they have a secondary injury?
Yes, so a minor head injury, some individuals may experience headaches, blurred vision, nausea, and then loss of memory, more the severe head injury, or symptoms of the more severe head injuries, loss of consciousness, any of those factors, an individual may want to seek medical attention if those symptoms persist for long periods of time.
And you also mentioned a couple of examples of head injury, something from maybe playing football or a sport earlier in life or even to a car accident. But for our listeners to have some relevant information, what other incidences do you see where people have had head injuries, and what could they do to maybe look at prevention?
Well, in the adolescent population, or infants even as well, a lot of children fall out of their bunk beds. I know in Alaska, you have a lot of falls where they hit their head on the ice. That can be an issue. Like I mentioned before, motor vehicle collisions. Also falls from high distances. And then, of course, sports concussions. Multiple concussions can also lead to this secondary injury and long-term negative effects on the brain.
One of the things that we promote for head safety and brain health, for lack of a better term, is wearing a helmet, especially doing things like bike riding, or up here in Alaska, we like to snow machine. Is that kind of the prevention angle that you might talk to people about?
Yes, that definitely would help, especially with the motorcycles and riding a bicycle. That's definitely something that will prevent a lot of the severe head injuries that we see.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Aging in Alaska, and we're talking with Dr. Joshua Gatson about the link between traumatic brain injuries and Alzheimer's disease. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Forgetting to buy bread is normal. Forgetting how the toaster works is not. Are you concerned about a loved one's forgetfulness? The Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska is here to help, offering memory screenings, confidential consultations, classes, trainings, support groups, and more. Call today 1-800-478-1080 or find out more at alzalaska.org.
If you're just tuning in, we're back and you're listening to Aging in Alaska, a show created to explore the many aspects of aging and provide information, insight, guidance, and support to Alaska's elders and their families. Aging in Alaska is produced by the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, and I'm your host, Lisa Warzonik. Again, today we're speaking with Dr. Joshua Gatson, who is talking to us about the link between traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's disease, and will be joining us in Alaska in November to present his work in a forum open to the public in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Soldotna. Dr. Gatson, we've talked about some of the link between traumatic brain injury, the secondary injury. Tell us a little bit more about the research that you're doing right now.
Okay, so right now I've started an interventional pilot clinical trial. Interventional, we're giving a drug to sports athletes that have suffered a concussion. And so what we're giving is resveratrol. And the reason why we're giving this compound, it's actually a nutritional supplement, and we're giving this compound within 2 hours of their sports concussion. And what we hope to find is that the nutritional supplement, when given early, can decrease the amount of secondary injuries, such as inflammation in the brain, oxidative stress, and cell death that can occur. And we believe that if we get this drug on early after injury, we can block the long-term effects, the Alzheimer's-like dementia, and all the other pathways that lead to the decline of the brain function. And right now, we have just completed this pilot clinical trial, and where we were only looking at the effect of this drug in 12 boxers that have developed a sports concussion. And we're in the stage now of processing the data to see if, in fact, the drug may have had some kind of effect on their brain function and the structure of their brain as a protective mechanism.
Dr. Gatson, do you know if there's any correlation between traumatic brain injury and what we consider early onset Alzheimer's for people under the age of 65?
Yes. Previous research has shown that as early as 2 hours after a TBI, a brain injury, we have noticed that there is a great increase in one of the primary proteins that lead to Alzheimer's disease. And this increase has been shown to persist for up to years after the initial injury. Now, this is very surprising because most people 5 to 10 years ago did not recognize the fact that a brain injury could actually lead to such consequences as Alzheimer's or early onset in a younger population. They just describe this early population as a population that which is more susceptible maybe genetically or to environmental factors, where in fact when they went back and looked at their head injury history, they found that there was in fact a link between a severe brain injury event and their current brain status.
What might be some of the issues that people with brain injury have after the injury and maybe after a period of recovery? We hear this term called cycling sometimes. But would you have some suggestions or information on what we might see in somebody with a brain injury?
Usually, someone with a brain injury, you'll see they have a loss of memory, amnesia-type symptoms. Their mood may change. So a lot of mood swings. And, of course, headaches. Persistent headaches is a main culprit of a brain injury. Now, even though these individuals may function normally, be able to go back to work, some of these symptoms persist for long periods of time and may, in fact, be clues to what's going on in the brain during this time period. And, you know, if it becomes a real problem and they go to their primary doctor, then they can, in fact, if they have the right testing done, be diagnosed with some type of alteration in the brain, which could, you know, if treated early, could prevent their long-term effects.
And when you mention the right kind of testing, what would that entail?
Well, at this point, the most appropriate predictor of early onset Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's-like dementia following TBI would be the use of neuropsychological testing. And most of the time, these are paper format tests where we ask a series of questions or we test your memory by presenting different symbols or scenarios, and we try to determine how well you remember these facts that we have presented. And usually we use those tools to determine if, in fact, there is a problem with the individual's cognitive abilities after the event, if that particular problem is correlated with their injury.
You'd mentioned memory loss is one of the signs as well. Would a head injury impair, say, new learning to, retain new memories?
Well, there is some evidence that it can, in fact, impair new memories, the development of new memories. But most of the time what people experience is the loss of memory of the particular event, minutes to hours after the event. So they don't remember what happened. And that's one of the signs of a severe concussion or a severe traumatic brain injury event.
Would you have any recommendations for someone who may have experienced a traumatic brain injury and has concerns, either short or long-term effects?
Yes, most definitely those individuals should seek medical attention. Even though it may seem as minor as a headache or a blurred vision, they should definitely seek out medical attention to make sure that there is no serious brain ailments at that particular time. Now, right now we're actually working on different tools that we can use clinically to predict the accumulation of amyloid protein in the brain, which is a major hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. And those tools should be available soon clinically. And if an individual feels like they have some kind of problem, I say within 2 or 3 years, they will be able to go to their doctor, and these tools will be available in addition to the neuropsychological testing. And then we can look at the accumulation of these proteins over time.
Well, this sounds like some promising information for individuals who have experienced brain injury and may have those concerns. What would you say that research has shown us in the last 5 to 10 years that maybe we didn't know beforehand?
Well, the main thing is that, a lot of neurologists and psychologists, they claim for years that there was not a link between traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's disease. And now research is starting to show or open all of the primary care physicians and nurses and other folks affiliated with the medical field open their eyes to the fact that even one single event can actually lead to an accumulation of these proteins. And if we follow these patients over time, these individuals over time, then we actually see that, or we have seen over the past 5 years, that there is in fact a direct link between one, two, or three TBI events and Alzheimer's-like dementia. So I would say over the last 5 or 10 years, it's really been the attention has been focused more on that link between the two.
And if you could have your way, Dr. Gadsden, where would you like to see the research going in the next 5 or 10 years?
Well, I would like to see these individuals be treated with medications aimed at either lowering these proteins that build up in the brain, decreasing inflammation, and, making that a standard form of care. So if an individual has that severe TBI, they get started on this medication for 30 days, 3 months, and hopefully that will decrease their chances of having Alzheimer's in the future.
That sounds terrific. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Aging in Alaska, and we're talking with Dr. Joshua Gatson about the link between traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's disease. We'll be right back.
Forgetting to buy bread is normal. Forgetting how the toaster works is not. Are you concerned about a loved one's forgetfulness? The Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska is here to help, offering memory screenings, confidential consultations, classes, trainings, support groups, and more. Call today 1-800-478-1080 or find out more at alzalaska.org.
You're listening to Aging in Alaska, a show created to explore the many aspects of aging. We're talking today with Dr. Joshua Gatson about the link between traumatic brain injury and Alzheimer's disease. So, Dr. Gatson, just so I can say I'm following correctly and for our listeners, essentially what we're looking at is that there is an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease with potentially even just one traumatic brain injury event. And the goal is to look at preventative measures, so medications and treatments that people can do after that traumatic brain injury to decrease the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Does that sound about right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So are there areas in research that you feel that they're making a lot of progress and there's some really promising results, maybe some research you're doing or other research trials that are out there?
Well, our research group has, we have two clinical trials where we're treating TBI patients with either resveratrol or other compounds to stave off the long-term effects and decrease that secondary injury. Now, we haven't analyzed the data. Some of these studies aren't complete yet, but these are some of the first studies in the world to ever look at the use of an intervention to treat TBI patients.
And how long will you follow those patients to see about the long-term effects?
Initially, we will follow them for 6 months. So we'll have a six-month follow-up where they will undergo neuropsychological testing, brain imaging. But in the future, we plan, if these projects show a lot of promise, we plan to follow these individuals for a year, 2 years, up to 5 years post-injury to see if, in fact, the therapeutic agent actually protected and also decreased the onset of Alzheimer's disease.
And are there other research studies that, for your own study, do you follow? There's been some news about the nasal spray that's showing promising results and other news about a new medication. Are these things that you follow as well, or are they sort of completely separate from the studies that you're doing?
Yes, we follow studies as well, because what we try to look at is the ease of treatment, so how easy it is to give the therapeutic agent. And so whether we give an oral dose or an injection, well, the oral dose is a easier intervention to give because the individual can go home and self-administer the medicine. And so a nasal spray as well, that's something that the individual can deliver the drug to themselves, and it won't require a lot of trips to the hospital and stuff like that, so on and so forth.
It sounds like you guys are looking at a lot of different avenues then for treatment.
Yes.
So, Dr. Gatson, we've been talking very seriously about the subject, and it is a serious subject, but now we have to ask, I understand this is your first trip to Alaska, and what will you be looking forward to seeing most when you come up?
A lot of snow. And I don't know. I guess stay away from the bears. There's a lot of bears over there.
Well, I think we can probably promise a lot of snow and beautiful scenery, and we look forward to having you. That is our show for today. Please stay tuned next month as we continue to explore the many aspects of aging here at home in Alaska. We thank Dr. Joshua Gatson from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, and we welcome him to Alaska in the month of November. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Aging in Alaska with Dr. Joshua Gatson. See you next time. Aging in Alaska is produced by the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. Music is generously provided by Bumua. Visit us on the web at alzalaska.org.